This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
They have to understand I chose to stay in my country because I'm French.
And the Bernabeu brings it back!
I haven't got a problem with soccer, to be fair.
Football.
Into the area to Bernabeu! Oh, what a start!
Well, what I can guarantee to you is that they want to keep everything secret.
Oh yes, welcome to House of Champions. YouTube friends, drop in your comments and questions in the chat and make sure you smash the like and subscribe button as we talk with the legend himself, Fabrizio Romano. Here we go. I mean, joined by the hardest working and certainly the most electric man on the internet right now. Fabrizio, how you doing, buddy?
All good, my friend. All good, ready for the World Cup and ready for many transfer rumors. So we're entering into a really important moment.
Personal question before we get into it. Serie A is complete madness right now. It seems like there's such a buzz around the league. I can only imagine what it's like in Italy with the media and the fans. Like, people just must be loving what is happening domestically in Italy right now.
Yes, because now Inter, Milan and Juventus are back at very good level after a difficult start. They're doing very well in the last months. They were almost perfect. And so Inter, Milan and Juventus are doing very well. But Napoli are destroying the league. They are flying. They are literally flying. And so we're curious to see if Napoli will be able to continue like this. And if they will continue like this, it'll be almost impossible for the other teams to compete for the Serie A. But I think it will be an interesting season. I think it will be an interesting season also in the second part, because Napoli will also have the Champions League. They had the tie with Eintracht Frankfurt, and so they will be also tempted by the Champions League. They are doing really fantastic, so congrats to them. But I'm sure that Serie A this season will be exciting until May or June final games.
You know, I've never been to Italy, ever, you know, and I've loved Italian soccer since the 90s. I will come in. It's a dream of mine to come and watch a Serie A game with you.
We'll wait for you.
We will make that happen. All right, to everybody out there, thank you so much for joining us. Please make sure you drop a question if you have in the comment section for Fabrizio. We'll try to get the best ones out to him as possible. We were going to start on the Mourinho controversy, but instead, yesterday, Cristiano Ronaldo had different ideas. Breaking news yesterday, as you reported, his interview with Piers Morgan. He said some unbelievable comments about Manchester United and the people at the club. Absolutely hammered Ten Hag, hammered Ralf Rangnick, and seemed like a very unhappy Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, this is absolutely crazy, Fabrizio. Thank you for being on top of it. But what's the reaction been like since?
Incredible stuff, first of all. I agree with you. And I think it's pretty clear. It's incredible. It's unbelievable because you see a player like Cristiano Ronaldo speaking like this while he's under contract with the club. Usually we see probably this kind of interviews after the experience at the club, and so maybe when the contract has expired. But in this case, he's under contract. We have the second part of the season. And at the moment, Cristiano Ronaldo has still no agreement with any other club. So, of course, he will look for a solution in January after this interview is pretty clear. But the situation is complicated because now also for Manchester United, to manage the situation with Cristiano, it's not going to be easy. The interview was an absolute bomb. I think what he said, as you mentioned, about the manager, I have no respect for the manager is something really big, but also what he said about the club, the progress, zero evolution in the club was really, really strong. So the expectation internally at Manchester United is to discuss between them today, tomorrow. So Erik ten Hag, from what I'm told, is absolutely furious, and it's obvious also people into the club are absolutely not happy, disappointed by Cristiano Ronaldo, what he said, how he said things, in which moment. Now Manchester United, after winning at Fulham, they were prepared to have a good international break, long international World Cup break, but preparing the future with optimism, as Erik ten Hag said right after the game. And now they have this Cristiano Ronaldo bomb internally to manage. So it's not going to be easy, I think, to manage this story in public and also on the market, because we know that, okay, now we have the bomb in public, but the Cristiano Ronaldo issue was there since June, since July, since August. Yeah. Then Manchester United and Cristiano Ronaldo tried to find a solution, but it was not easy to find the right club for Cristiano to satisfy Cristiano ambitions. So was not easy. And now in January market, that is even more complicated because, for example, Bayern already announced they are not going to sign any player. Chelsea, let's see what they want to do, but they are going for Kunku, we know. So do they want Cristiano Ronaldo again? Clubs in Italy, we had rumors about Napoli in August, but Napoli, as we mentioned, they are flying and I don't see them touching the squad in January. So it's not easy to find the right club for Cristiano Ronaldo. And final point of the domino, if Cristiano will leave, as we expect, Manchester United need to sign a new striker in January. Absolutely, because they have Rashford, okay, is doing fantastic, but also Anthony Martial with many injuries. They need one more striker, and it's not easy to find a striker at Manchester United level in January. So it's a complicated domino with one of the best players in the history like Cristiano Ronaldo.
What's your personal opinion on this situation? I mean, obviously, you know the game so well. You work around a lot of people who are dealing with Cristiano Ronaldo. You work around people who are dealing with Manchester United. I mean, is he right to do this? Is it a wrong thing for him individually? Does it ruin his legacy? I mean, your personal opinion, that's what I want to know. I mean, is this just him grabbing the headlines once again before he leaves? I mean, it seems to me like it's a ridiculous idea for him to do something like this and ruin what could have been possibly the greatest legacy at the biggest club in the world.
Yes, I understand this point of view, but I also think that he was really, really suffering in the last 2, 3, 4 months being on the bench, not playing in some key moments. I still remember the Manchester derby for Cristiano was not easy to be there and not playing in a key game and see your team destroyed by Manchester City. So there were many difficult moments for Cristiano, even during the summer when Manchester United also created some problems when they had some possibility, for example, at one point with Chelsea and they didn't want to discuss with internal clubs in the Premier League. So, you know, he was absolutely not happy with the whole situation and it was not easy for Cristiano to wait and wait and wait to speak because he wanted to say his points. He wanted to say the truth. He mentions the truth. And so he didn't want to wait, but he had to wait because it was not possible to do that during the season. Now, the feeling is that Cristiano did this interview because he knows that it's going to be the last interview as Manchester United player. So the expectation also of those close to Cristiano Ronaldo is that in January he has to leave, he has to find a solution. And now for Manchester United, it will be almost impossible to keep him. So on a personal point of view, I think it's a pity to see Cristiano Ronaldo saying that kind of things about Manchester United. As you mentioned, their legacy has always been fantastic. What Cristiano did when Sir Alex Ferguson was there is something historical and would remain. But also this part of the story was really disappointing.
I still love Cristiano Ronaldo, Fab. I don't care if he's done this or not. This guy's an absolute legend and I appreciate him. Let's move on to more controversy because I was completely shocked to hear Jose Mourinho's post-game comments a few days ago. A player has betrayed his teammates with bad attitude with the comments coming from Mourinho. Rick Carstop has not only been pushed out of the squad now, he's been pushed out of Rome. I mean, please explain the situation a little bit more. This seems to be very Mourinho-like, but unusual to attack one of your players.
Yes, unusual, but we know that for Jose Mourinho, as he always mentions, the most important part in football is the approach you have. It's not just about the quality, it's not just about your skills, but it's about the approach. And he was not happy with Rick Carstop's approach in the game with Sassuolo, the game they played on Thursday. He was absolutely not happy with that. Oh, it was on Wednesday. He was absolutely not happy with that because of Carstop's approach in the dressing room and when he was on the pitch. So in the final minutes, they conceded a goal by Pinamonti, and this was the real problem. Jose Mourinho was absolutely furious. Then there was a complicated situation in the dressing room. So on Wednesday after the game, Jose Mourinho said that those words about a player, a mysterious player, but not mentioning the name. And then Rick Carstorp was not called up for the game with Torino, and he already left the city. Because I'm using the words of a former director of Roma, Walter Sabatini, one of the most important sports directors Roma had in the last few years, and he said, in Rome, it's not like in the other cities. It's not like in Milano or any other city in Italy. You can't go to the shops, for example, in the center of the city if you have a big issue with the teammates, if you have a big issue with the manager. So they were not so happy with Roma making the name public, but now everything is public. Rick Carstorp is the name, Rick Carstorp is the player, and Rick Carstorp will leave Roma in January. So it's a big controversy. Jose Mourinho was absolutely not happy with his approach. It was a matter of respect also for the teammates. And so this is why they were trying to find a solution for Carstorp, and I think he will leave Roma in January.
Very interesting to see this type of attack. But also, as you mentioned there, when you put a player in this vulnerable situation, you're also putting a human being in danger in a city like Rome, where you know he is recognized everywhere. His family can't go where they want to go. Yes. Sounds to me like he's left the city. But what about his future? I mean, let us know what Rick Carstorp is doing right now. He's left Rome. But what's next for him? What clubs could potentially be his next destination?
Yes, there are some options because some Italian clubs are looking for a right back. For example, we had rumors on Juventus because Juventus will go for a fullback in January, and Carstorp, Odriozola from Real Madrid, they are names that they are studying, but it's not some kind of, there is not some kind of negotiation yet. So it's just an idea, it's just a possibility. And then some Dutch club, because of course Rick Carstorp is Dutch. They know him very well in Eredivisie, so it could be a possibility for him to go back to Eredivisie. Now he's no longer in Rome because, as you mentioned, he was in kind of danger. It's not an easy situation, and so they wanted to feel protected, and this is why they left the city. They are together with the family in their own country, and then I think in January the player will be transferred to a Eredivisie club or Serie A club.
What a strange situation. Speaking of strange, how about this rumor, Fabrizio? Just let me know exactly what's happening with Marcelo Bielsa to Bournemouth here. Former Leeds boss, obviously Bielsa, the rumor has been that he's going to go to Bournemouth. I mean, what are the chances of it actually happening that Bielsa does end up back in the Premier League at Bournemouth?
Yes, it's a real possibility. This is true that into the board they discussed this possibility with Marcelo Bielsa as a fascinating idea. I would say a really interesting idea because we know how special is Marcelo Bielsa. It's not about the trophies, but when you have Marcelo Bielsa as a manager, there is something magic into the club, as it happened with Leeds United and many other opportunities he had around Europe and around the world in the last years. And so they are thinking of Marcelo Bielsa, but also an important point is that we know how slow is the process when Marcelo Bielsa is involved in talks, because he wants to make sure about the project, about the ideas. He wants to have the full control of the ideas into the club. Otherwise, it's going to be a disaster, because this is with Marcelo Bielsa. You have to be together with him. You have to support him in every single idea, in every single signing, in every single kind of project you have for the club. Otherwise, it's going to be a big issue with him. And so they're thinking of him. At the moment, there are some contacts, but it's not something like advanced or at the final stage. It's still early to say if Marcelo Bielsa will really go back to Premier League and join Bournemouth.
All right, let's take a quick break. More to come from Fabrizio Mano when we return. Keep those questions coming in. I see a lot of questions about Mudrik. We'll get to that in just a minute. It's your turn next. House of Champions will be right back after this short break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
All right, you're watching House of Champions. Just a reminder, there are no breaks in this soccer calendar. To celebrate the fact Paramount Plus are offering listeners a 50% annual savings on P-Plus subscriptions, UCL, UEL, Serie A, NWSL, and so much more. Click on the link in the description or scan the QR code to use the offer code all year to save 50% on your annual P-Plus subscription. See, enjoy with the legendary Fabrizio Romano. Let's get into it. So many questions are coming in. A lot of comments already asking about the future. Do you think Arsenal will go for Mudryk in January? I mean, what's going on with this kid? It seems to me like Mudryk is forcing a move to Arsenal Football Club. Let us know what's happening, Fabrizio.
He would love to go to the Premier League. This is not a secret. He would love to go to the Premier League, and he was already dreaming of Premier League football in August when Everton offered 30 million and they said no. Bournemouth have been really interested in him, and also Brentford with the director Lee Dykes, who is in love with Mudryk since more than 1 year. So many English clubs have been interested in Mudryk. But the real point is the price. The real point is the price, because it's true that Arsenal have been interested. We mentioned here many times also in August that they wanted him. They had negotiations with his agent, but they never made an official bid in August because Shakhtar wanted 45-50 million euros. Now I'm told that is way more than this. So they are not accepting 45 or 50 million for Mudryk. From what I understand, it's more than 60-65 million for Mikhailo Mudryk to move in January. So we have to see if Arsenal will decide to invest that money. My sources at Shakhtar Donetsk tell me that at the moment there is still no bid on the table, no official bid. They say we know about the interest. We know they are keen on signing Mudryk in the future, but at the moment, still no official bid. So it's on Arsenal now. But there are also many other clubs interested. The player would be happy to move in January because he wants to try a new experience in a top club. And so let's see what happens. It's still early, but I'm sure that Arsenal are interested. They are still in direct contact with people close to the player. So Arsenal are there, but it's about spending money and investing money on this player who I consider one of the best talents around Europe. He is really fantastic and with an incredible mentality. It's not just about what we can see on the pitch. The mentality of this boy is something special. He is training hard every single day. He wants to become a top professional and not just a top player. And this is an important point when we speak about young talents.
I guess it goes to show you what can happen if you have success in the Champions League. The price tag just continues to go through the roof. Let's turn to Jonathan David. I saw you talking yesterday on the Serie A coverage about Jonathan David. I mean, this guy has had an unbelievable career so far. What could potentially be next for him? I mean, obviously a big World Cup around the corner, but if you look at his statistics, Fabrizio, he scored 41 goals in 111 Lille games. He scored 37 goals in 83 Ghent games, and he's got 22 goals for 34 Canadian games. The World Cup's going to be a big stage for Jonathan David.
Super big stage and big opportunity. Really big opportunity, because you mentioned the numbers are very good. I think he's a record goal scorer for Lille in Ligue 1 after Eden Hazard. And so these are really important numbers for this guy. And there are clubs interested in him, because in Italy, there are clubs following him since a long time. For example, AC Milan, Inter, they've always been interested in Jonathan David. But now Inter are so happy with Lautaro and Lukaku. But for example, AC Milan, they have Olivier Giroud, who is doing fantastic, but they have Ibrahimovic, Origi. They are all players in the final part of their career. And Jonathan David is a talented striker, so it could be the best solution for them in 2023. There are English clubs interested, because 1 year ago, in January, Arsenal were thinking of him, Tottenham were thinking of him. Then they decided to go for a different kind of player, for Gabriel Jesus, for Richarlison in the summer. But we know that they were interested in him. So I'm sure that the World Cup is the perfect stage for him to show again how good he is, to score some goals, to convince maybe some clubs around Europe. But as we mentioned many times, I think 2023 will be a really important year for strikers on the market, because there will be many top clubs interested in Spain, in Italy, in England, and I think Jonathan David will be part of this domino.
Yeah, just wonder how much that price tag's going to be for someone like him, Fabrizio, especially
50 million, I think. At the moment, it's around 45, 50 million. Let's see after the World Cup.
Yeah, what happens if he gets Canada with the group stage? It goes up to about 75 million. Great stuff as always. It's Ian Joy with Fabrizio Romano. You're watching House of Champions. Let's get to some of your questions here. Great one coming in from Bragan Klasper. He says, afternoon, guys. Are there any names on Tottenham's radar for January? Cheers. Thanks, Brogan. Go ahead, Fabrizio.
Yes, let's see what happens with the centre-backs. I think they will look for some opportunity for centre-backs. So it depends always on the quality of the player. To give you an example, in August, in the final weeks of August, Tottenham wanted the midfielder. They wanted Malinowski from Atalanta, and he remains a player appreciated by Tottenham, but it's also about selling players. So in that case, it was Brian Hill to Valencia on loan and Malinowski to Tottenham on loan, but Atalanta turned down the proposals on a potential loan move and nothing happened. So let's see what happens with Malinowski as a midfielder if they want to go for that kind of player. For centre-backs, I see links with Bastoni, but Bastoni, from what I'm told, is not leaving Inter in January, also because they are the next stage of the 16th round of the Champions League, and so I don't see them selling Bastoni in January, but I see Tottenham going for a centre-back and potentially for a midfielder. So Antonio Conte wants new players. He feels that they need new players, also because they are doing very well in Premier League and also in Champions League. But at the moment, he's still early, and I'm sure that the director, Tottenham fans now know how he works. Fabio Paratici is always working on like 5-6 players on the same position, and then he decides who is the best option.
Seems madness, but that's the way the business works right now. Cynthia Cross is asking, Manchester City have the most players of any team going to the World Cup. Will Pep Guardiola try to bring in fresh legs this January? What's your thoughts? I mean, City struggled again at the weekend. Obviously, the World Cup, I'm sure, is in the back of a lot of the players' minds. Do you think they'll strengthen in January, Fabrizio, in any way?
No, I think no. They were thinking of a potential new centre-back in January when it was July, August. So they said, maybe we will keep a slot in January for a centre-back. But then in the final hours of the market, they had this opportunity to sign Manuel Akanji from Borussia Dortmund. And it was a really smart signing because he's doing very well. It was a big opportunity because he was out of contract with Borussia Dortmund in 2023. So they're really happy with the squad they had. They think they don't need any addition in January. They don't want to sell any player in January. They don't want to sign any player in January. And so the mission is to continue with the same squad. Then we know that on the market, sometimes you have opportunities. I always mention Julian Alvarez because 1 year ago, Julian Alvarez was not in Manchester City plans in September or in October. So they were really happy with the squad they had. But then they had this possibility to negotiate with River Plate on the release clause of Julian Alvarez and to sign the player for the summer. And it was a really smart signing. So they're always very good with the strategy. But as of now, from what I'm told, they don't want to change anything in general.
Let's get, we got three more minutes left with Fabrizio. Ali A is asking, Fab, Liverpool transfer news, please, and Bobby Firmino contract situation. Can you get to it?
Yes, there are negotiations with Firmino. Also, Jurgen Klopp during the weekend mentioned this possibility of extending the contract of Roberto Firmino. There are discussions ongoing. It's up to the player also. It's important to understand what Firmino wants to do because he spent many years at Liverpool. He's been a really important player and he still is an important player for Liverpool. But I think it's up to him now to decide if he wants to continue there or if he wants to try a new kind of experience as Divock Origi did with the Milan, for example. So he's also on the player. They are speaking, they are discussing. It's still an open situation. But for Firmino, it still takes some time. And for Liverpool, I think January is going to be about the opportunities. But in the summer, it will be really busy with a top midfielder. And we know that they will be in the race for Jude Bellingham. So Liverpool know that in the summer, they need to do something important.
Last question for Fabrizio before we get out of here. I saw that Barcelona are going to prioritize a right back. Who are some of the names that they are looking at? Thanks, guys. That one comes in from Roddy. Last question.
Yes, it depends if they will find the right name in January or if they will move for right back in the summer. It depends on the opportunities. It depends on the price because we know, guys, that the January transfer window is not so easy to find top players available. So, for example, a player they really love is Diogo Dalot from Manchester United. I still see Manchester United activating the option to extend his contract till 2024. So he's not going to leave as a free agent. But he's a player appreciated by Barcelona. They are following Diogo Dalot. And he's a player for the summer because in January, 100%, he's not leaving Man United. So keep an eye on Barca on the right back, not just in January, but possibly in the summer. It depends on the opportunities because also at the moment they have many right backs. So it's also about selling players, especially for Barca, because as Laporta mentioned a few days ago, it's also about the financial fair play. They are not at the next round of the Champions League and it's a big issue for the financial fair play. So they have to be careful in January, but they will be back on the market big in the summer with the right back for sure.
So many more questions coming your way, Fabrizio. Thanks to everybody out there who dropped in a question. Apologies, we couldn't get to as many as we can, but we have Fabrizio on with us every single week. So get in the show earlier, get your questions into us, and we'll get the best ones out to Fabrizio as best we possibly can. The club season so far has taken a break, Fabrizio. We turn our attention to the World Cup now. We can't thank you enough for what you've done already. But do you have a favorite for the World Cup? Who is your favorite?
Spain. My favorite is Spain. The underdogs. Yes, yes, yes. It's a bit crazy, but I like their group. I think the squad is probably not the best. There are better clubs like Brazil, France. But I think they have a very good group, a very good energy into the group. They have a soul. And so, let's see. But I like Spain.
You know, I asked you that question a couple of weeks ago. I just wanted to see if you changed your mind as well.
I keep going with Spain.
Fabrizio, you're the best. Thank you so much, as always, for coming on House of Champions. We appreciate you. Please make sure you go follow Fabrizio across all of his social media platforms. He is number one when it comes to transfer news, breaking news, and anything to do with the beautiful game. Make sure you go and follow him. Thank you so much, Fabrizio. Thanks to everybody else out there for listening to House of Champions. Please make sure you take a minute to leave us a rating and a review on your favorite podcast platform. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere else you listen to your podcast. We're also available as videos, so subscribe to us on YouTube. Fabrizio Romano, you are an absolute legend. Enjoy the break from club football. The World Cup is absolutely going to be beautiful, and I can only imagine that January transfer window will come around very quickly indeed. Thanks, brother.
Ciao, thank you.
Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount+.
Yes!